You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, this morning I am so excited to be starting this new series called Making Change. And I really believe that this series has the potential to change your life. I mean that. I believe if you will lock in and lean into this message series over the next few weeks, it has the potential to change your life, to impact your family. If you're married, your marriage, your kids. This is going to be a great time the next few weeks. But this is also a series, if we're not careful, it can kind of go in one ear and out the other. We can kind of blow it off because we're talking about money. And so there can be this thought of, well, you know, the Bible has a lot to say and about all these other areas of my life, but I'm not so sure that, you know, I want anybody telling me how to handle my finances. That's really personal to me. Well, I would just say don't do that. Lean into this because the principles of God's word can change your life, can impact your finances. And so we're going to talk about financial health for the next few weeks, but this is also about discipleship because we want to honor God with every area of our lives. How many of you know that the way you handle your finances is downright spiritual? This is spiritual. This is about how we follow Christ. This is about discipleship. Jesus had a lot to say about money. He talked about money a whole lot. And Jesus said that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He understood that the way we handle money reveals our priorities. It reveals what's going on inside of our hearts. And so we want something for you, not from you. This is not going to be a high-pressure series, or we're going to guilt trip you, or we're going to stalk you on Facebook to see how you're spending your money, where you're going on vacation, what kind of car you drive. Sorry, we're not that kind of church, okay? But we want you to get the most out of this. So we're going to be talking about financial freedom. Let me just also say, we understand that finances are a personal topic. So the principles of God's word, how they apply to your finances, have to be worked out for your individual situation, okay? We have everything in our congregation from the person who's unemployed right now and looking for a job to people who are retired and financially set and on the other side and everything in between. So the way these financial principles land on you, wherever you're at in your journey of life, you have to apply them. You know, a sermon is the beginning of a conversation that has to carry on between you and the Lord. And so we want to spark some conversations between husbands and wives and family members and get you talking and thinking about what God's word has to say about how we handle our finances. So today, I want to dive into the theme of less is more. Everybody say less is more. You know, all my life, I've been under the assumption that more is more, that more is better. The more you can get, the better things are going to be. How many of you have ever heard this statement that you can't have too much of a good thing? Ever heard that before? You can't have too much of a good thing because more is more. If one is good, two is better. If one is good, two is better. If $1 is good, two is better. If one car is good, two is better. If one child is good, well, three is better in my case because you can't have too much of a good thing. A few years ago, I was down in New Orleans visiting my family for Thanksgiving. That's my hometown, and we go down there. That's our Thanksgiving tradition. And, you know, we have so much good food down there, world-famous cuisine. We have gumbo and jambalaya and crawfish etouffee and all of these things that you can really only find down there cooked the right way. And so I was down in the city one day, and I was eating, like, at street vendors, and I went to the world-famous Café du Monde, and I had some beignets, and I'm eating a little bit here, eating a little bit there, and not really paying attention. I'm eating throughout the whole day as we're walking around the city, and then I stayed in the city that night to meet up with some friends of mine from high school, some dear friends of mine, and we had dinner that night at a really nice restaurant in the French Quarter, and I had a really great, like, seafood dish. But about halfway through the meal, we're having a great time, my stomach begins to remind me of everything that I had been eating all day long and not paying attention to all of the different contents that I was putting inside of my stomach, and my stomach just turned sour. You ever had that happen before? You were just overeating, and in the middle of that beautiful dinner I was having with my friends, I was like, guys, I'm sorry, but I got to get up and find the nearest drugstore. I need to go find me some Tums because I'm about to just, you know, throw up, to be honest with you. And so I had to make a beeline across the street. I went straight into CVS and, like, grabbed the first container of Tums I could eat and just started throwing them down the hatch. And thank God, you know, I was feeling better. But I discovered that day that, you know, sometimes less is more. Sometimes less is more. You can have too much of a good thing. And you and me, we live in a culture that's obsessed with more. We live in a culture that constantly tells us the more you have, the happier you're going to be. You need more money. You need more toys. You need more clothes. You need more cars. You need more stuff. This is the world we live in. But we're going to discover some biblical wisdom today, and we're going to find that what Scripture has to teach us is that maybe less is actually more. Sometimes less is more. Now, in the spirit of less is more, we're going to focus on one main scripture for today. And it's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes is part of the wisdom tradition of Scripture. It's traditionally attributed to King Solomon. It's all of these wise sayings. And the main theme of Ecclesiastes is this idea that life apart from God is meaningless. It's purposelessness. And so what happens is there are all these wise sayings about how humanity often wastes its time, is preoccupied with things that when it's all said and done end up being meaningless. And so we come to this verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6, and it says this: better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. We're going to drive this scripture home this morning, so I want you to read with me out loud. I know it's 10 o'clock, but you guys are waking up. You had worship. You had some caffeine, so would you read with me? Here we go. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Good job. See, this scripture, it's a word picture about contentment. It warns us not to give into this false idea, not to trade our peace, not to trade our tranquility for this idea that the more stuff we have, the happier we're going to be. No. The writer of Ecclesiastes reminds us better is one handful, better is a modest amount with tranquility, with peace in your life, than two handfuls with toil and financial stress and strife and broken relationships and no peace of mind than toil and chasing after the wind. The writer of Ecclesiastes is reminding us that there is this false belief that the more we have, the happier we'll be. And here's the problem with that idea. With that idea, satisfaction is always elusive, because the more you have, you get there, and then you want some more. You never get to that place where you find satisfaction if your satisfaction is ultimately built around what you have, what you own, what you possess. It's like chasing after the wind. And so less is more is about focusing less on what doesn't matter in life and focusing more on what actually does, embracing more of what actually does matter in life. This past week, my pastor, Pastor Jeff, who will be here in a few weeks, pastor of our parent church, he posted a video on Facebook that really challenged and encouraged me. He recently lost his father-in-law, and he went down to Panama. His father-in-law was a missionary down there, and he was there for the funeral. And Pastor Jeff was just reflecting on Facebook how his father-in-law's funeral just challenged him, because everybody there was you know, remembering his life and talking about how great of a man of God his father-in-law was, and how he was a great man of prayer, a great man of compassion, a loyal friend, someone who was always available to other people. And it struck him that people really didn't spend a whole lot of time talking about his accomplishments. Even though he was a great pastor, great missionary, great man of God, they talked about his qualities and his character attributes, and it challenged him. And you know, listening to that video, it challenged me. And so if I were to ask you today, what really matters in life, what would make the list? I mean, if you only had a few months to live and I were to ask you what matters, you know, that would give you some clarity, wouldn't it? If I were to go around the room today and I were to ask you, you know, what are the things that really matter in life? What would be some of your answers? Maybe my relationship with God, you know, my family, right? If you're married, my spouse, my children. Those are the things that all of us would mention, right? You know what nobody would mention? No one would say, you know what really matters in life? How much money you have in the bank account. What kind of car you drive, how many pairs of shoes you own, if you own the latest model of the iPhone. Come on. Nobody would say, what really matters in life is I finally got the new countertops installed that I've been waiting for. What really matters in life is how many followers I have on Instagram. Nobody would say that. And yet we find ourselves so often focusing on things that don't end up making the list of things that really matter in life. And the problem is, yet we look around at what we don't have, and what we tend to focus on is what I don't have is what I need. And here's what the wisdom of Scripture says, is that it's like chasing the wind. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. And so this morning, I want to give you just three thoughts to help us embrace less is more living. I want to invite you to take some notes. You can take notes on the Redemption app or on sheets of paper that we gave you when you came in. But just three simple thoughts to help us embrace less is more living, because we want to get really practical in this series. Here's the first one. Number one is cut back. Everybody say cut back. Cut back. This is talking about cutting back on our consumption. For most of us, we could probably use a little cut back on our consumption. If you've ever lived in an old house before, anybody ever lived in an older house? Amy and I live in an older house right now. It was built, I believe, in the 1930s, something like that. Have you ever noticed that there's not a lot of closet space? Anybody have this problem? Like my house, there's no closet space, like anywhere. Like you wonder, like, where did people put their stuff? You look around the house, there's no closet space, right? Little tiny closets, you can't fit your clothes. I've got clothes stashed like all over the house. And I'm not even somebody who I consider to have a lot of clothes, but there's no room. And you know what it makes me realize? Back then, people probably didn't have a whole lot of clothes. Maybe, you know, if you were a guy, you had one or two suits and just a couple shirts and a few pairs of pants, and that was it. The closet space kind of proves that people didn't have as much stuff as we have now. And nowadays, people have, like, walk-in closets. Come on. People have these amazing closets. Some of you have live-in closets. You have drive-in closets. You could drive an automobile in your closets. Some of you have closets where you press a button and it, like, you know, mechanically stuff can revolve around. And there's closets that you can get custom-built where, like, another level drops down and brings you your closet. It's insane. People have these crazy huge closets. So we max out all of our closets around the house. And then people run out of space there, so some people have to fill their attic or their basement with all of their stuff. And then they run out of space in the attic, in the basement, and they have to go to the garage. Now, what was the garage originally built for? An automobile. But now your garage is full of stuff, and so you fill the whole garage with all of your stuff, and now your whole house is maxed out, so you have to go where? Some people go and get a storage unit, and now they're paying somebody else to watch all of their stuff. Stuff you don't even see, stuff you don't even care about, stuff that you forgot you even owned, and now you're paying somebody to store it for you. Where does the insanity stop? Are you tracking with me? We got to cut back some. Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, this is an interesting story. These two brothers come to Jesus, and they're fighting over the family inheritance, and they want Jesus to straighten everything out. And he says this, Luke chapter 12, verse 15. He says, watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions, of your stuff. Less is more. We know this in our heads, but some kind of way we have to get this in our hearts. It's a lot more difficult to get it into our hearts and to live this way. And so we need to consider cutting back on our consumption. Consider how chasing after stuff and having all of these things might be maxing you out, might be stressing you out, might be causing you not to have much financial margin. Maybe it's better to have less stuff and more friendships, more meaningful relationships. Maybe it's better to have less stuff and some more time with your family. Maybe it's better to have less stuff and to have some quality experiences and memories in life, to make some memories that will last. Your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. You have to get to this place where you realize my life does not consist in the abundance of my possessions, and so I'm going to cut back some if I have to. Most of us probably need to err on the side of cutting some things back to be a little more healthy in our souls, because better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Here's the second idea. The first one is we need to cut back. The second idea is we need to clear out. Everybody say clear out. A wise person anonymously said one time, clear out as if your life depends on it. Why is that? Because your life does depend on it. Your life depends on you focusing on just a few things that really matter. Remember, it's so easy for us to get distracted by things that make the list of things that don't even matter. But we want to get our lives focused. So we want to clear out so we can focus in on what matters. And you know, sometimes you actually have to declutter your soul. Sometimes we get so busy chasing after things and money and status and possessions and all of these things that we think are going to make us happy, and we begin to get weary. Usually a lot of times it involves overwork and preoccupation with such things. You ever get to a time in life where you were just so cluttered up with all those things, you felt it in your soul? Anybody with me? And you had this sense like, I need to declutter my soul. Sometimes you got to do that. The great writer and spiritualist and author Richard Foster said this: to conform to a sick society is to become sick. How many of you know that our culture is sick with this disease called consumerism and materialism? And when we feel this pressure to conform to society, we take on the sickness. We catch this contagious disease that is materialism. And so sometimes you've got to pay attention to the health of your soul, and you got to declutter. I hate clutter. Anybody here hate clutter? I hate clutter. Amy and I, we have these veterans pickups, these groups that come and pick up goods from your house for veterans. It's amazing. They'll come and take all your stuff. They'll take just about anything you put out there. I put one of my kids out there. They started putting them in the truck. It's amazing. They'll take anything. And so, you know, we put stuff out, but, you know, inevitably Amy will always ask me, should we keep this or should we throw it out? I'm always like, throw it out. Get rid of it. I hate clutter. When my home is neat and declutterized, I actually feel more peace in my soul. I'm actually better able to connect with my kids. I think there's a spiritual connection here. We've got to clear some stuff out, and for some of it's really hard to do that. There's an emotional attachment for you to some stuff, and let's just talk about that for a reason. Why we might have trouble decluttering at times. See, some of you maybe you have a scarcity mindset. Maybe you grew up in poverty. You didn't have much as a kid. You know what it is to be broke. And now you've made it. Like, you have a decent career. You have a good job. Like, you've made it in life. Your finances are in decent shape. But you haven't realized that you never shook that scarcity mindset that you grew up with. And so it's hard for you to release some things. Maybe for some of you, it's sentimental, you know, like you go to give something away and you're like, but what if I'm going to miss it? And you realize you haven't worn it in like 2 years. You haven't looked at that possession in like years. It's been sitting in the attic collecting dust. But at the moment you go to give it away, what if I'm going to miss it? It's sentimental. It's probably not a really good reason to hoard all of this stuff. For some people, it's the comparison trap. Oh, a lot of us fall into this one, the comparison trap. What happens is we go on social media and we look at what other people have, and all of a sudden we feel really insecure about the stuff we have because everybody else's stuff looks better than ours. Can I tell you just to be really careful with comparing yourself to people on social media? Because you're comparing your worst moments to people's highlight reels. My life looks amazing on social media. It looks like lifestyles of the rich and famous, okay? I mean, it's unbelievable, like these polished moments that we have on Facebook. You know, your kids look amazing because you photoshopped them. It's all good. So be careful. Be careful with the comparison trap. To conform to a sick culture is to become sick. Now, back to my closet example for just a moment. What happens is we end up with these closets and homes and storage units and basements and all of these things. We have closets full of clothes, and inevitably what happens? You go to your closet and you say, I can't find anything to wear. Come on, husbands, where are you at this morning, right? Like, you're trying to leave, right? Trying to get ready to go somewhere, and your wife is like just killing you, making you late. You're like, what's the matter? I can't find anything to wear. And you look inside of her closet. It's cavernous. It's like the clothes go on and on. And you're like, woman, what's wrong with you? You can't find something to wear. What are you talking about? And that's what happens. We're overwhelmed with choices. We're overwhelmed with choices. And it just goes to prove that the more we have, we're not any more happier. There's not a direct correlation between the more we have and being happier. It's like Netflix. Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever go on Netflix sometime and you try to find something to watch? And it's like there's 10,000 movies. And you're just scrolling, right? You're sitting there and you realize you spent 20 minutes like searching through Netflix trying to find something to watch. It's even suggesting stuff to you. Like, based on this, you should watch this. And you can't make up your mind. You know what I'm saying? But you get on a plane, an overseas flight, and there's only like 5 movies, and you want to watch 3 of them because you don't have a lot of choices. Like, that one looks good. That one looks good. It's this whole thing. Like, we have too many choices. There's a little restaurant in Harrison. It's a little hole in the wall where I live called the Taqueria. It's a little taco place, and the menu's so simple. When I go in the Taqueria, it's always easy to order because I'm going to get me some tacos. It's really simple. But how many of you have ever been to the Cheesecake Factory? Anybody? Come on. You ever seen this menu? It's like an encyclopedia. The waiter comes, are you ready to order? No, I'm going to need a few minutes. The waiter comes back like 5 minutes later, like, are you ready to order? No, I'm still working my way through the encyclopedia here, right? I'm like on chapter 6. Come back in like 10 minutes. Because everything looks good, and there's like 1,000 choices, and it just goes to prove that the more we have, the more choices we have, the more we have in our lives, the happier. We don't become any happier. And so we need to declutter our lives. We need to give some stuff away. Can I just get practical for a moment? If you haven't worn that outfit in like a year or two, you might want to consider giving it away and blessing somebody else who might be able to use it. Here's another principle. It's the get one, give one. Get one, give one. You buy something new, give the old version of what you have away instead of just accumulating it. Get one, give one. Declutter. You know, when our kids around Christmas time, when they get new presents, we always take some time to clear some stuff out, to offload some stuff, bless somebody else who can use these things. And can I just say for a second, parents, if I can just interject my opinion, I don't know if it's anointed or not, but can I just interject? We've really tried to cut back on Christmas and how much stuff we buy the kids the last couple years. Because can I just tell you the truth? By the time they've opened the 29th plastic toy that you got them, they really don't care that much about the other 28 ones. Are you with me this morning? Like, less is more. Give them some experiences. Give them some memories. Give them a few valuable things rather than just overflowing your home with all of this stuff. Are you with me? Come on, parents. And so the only way to break free from this powerful grip of materialism on our lives, it's counterintuitive, and it's to be generous. It's to give some away. You think you're a generous person until you have to give something away. Until you have to give some finances away, until you have to give something away that you consider to be valuable. But I'm telling you, it's counterintuitive, but this is a downright, like, Holy Spirit-inspired principle of Scripture, because God knows how we're wired, and He knows the cure to our illness. And the cure to break free from the grip of materialism is to give some stuff away. Is this helping anybody this morning? You guys with me? Or am I just preaching to myself? And so we have to remember that better is one handful with tranquility, with peace in your life, than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. So we got to cut back, we got to clear out, and here's the third thing. We got to pay off. Everybody say pay off. Talking about debt here. We're going to get into this some more in the next couple weeks, but we need to pay some debt off so we can have some margin in our lives. How many of you would agree that financial stress in your life is absolutely not fun at all? Anybody? Anybody agree with me? Financial stress in your life. Anybody ever had some financial stress? I think most of us can identify with this, right? At some point in time in your life, you had some financial stress. It isn't any fun at all, is it? I've never heard anybody say, you know, debt helps me feel at peace. Come on. High interest credit card payments just give me so much joy. Come on. Owing people a whole bunch of money just makes me feel free in life. Come on, college graduates. Owing $200,000 on a degree that I don't even use just causes me to burst forth in song. Anybody? I've never heard anybody say that before. But you know what I have heard of quite often before? How financial stress ruins marriages and leads to divorce. You know what I have heard people say before? I wish I could go back and undo some of the stupid decisions I made when I was a young person. I wish I could change that. I've heard people say, I wish I had less debt so that I could live with more freedom. Let me just tell you this morning, what is fun, what does bring joy, is paying some things off, paying some debt off. If you've done that before, there's a joy in it. There's a freedom to know that you owe one less person, one less organization some money. Can I tell you what gives you some peace of mind? The ability to live with some margin in your life. The ability to pay your bills and have something left over. To be able to be generous, to be able to bless somebody else, to be able to tuck something away, to be able to invest for your future. That brings peace. That brings joy. Because better is one hand with tranquility, with peace in your heart, with margin for your life, than two handfuls chasing after all of these things that we really can't afford. Spending money that we don't have, to buy things that we don't need, to impress people we don't even like. That's the truth. Better is one handful with tranquility than running after all of those things. Better is maybe a car that's paid off than driving a really sexy car that you can't afford that's causing you stress. Maybe better is a smaller house than a bigger one that causes you and your spouse to fight over finances all the time and who spent what on what. Better maybe it is to have some financial margin in your life so that you can bless someone else than to have two handfuls and be stingy and stressed out about money all the time. Is this helping anybody this morning? We got a little bit of a problem with this in Westchester around here. Anybody know what I'm saying? So less is more. And don't hear me wrong this morning. I'm not saying you can't have anything nice, okay? I said this is a really personal thing. How you take these principles and you apply them to your life with what you have, because God has given all of us different amounts to steward. We're all at different places and phases of life. This is really personal for you. How you make your purpose in life about something greater than just stuff. How you work that out, that's personal for you. I'm not saying you can't own some nice things. Maybe it's better to own a few nice things than to have a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't really matter. Maybe it's better to take some nice vacations traditions and have some memories with your kids. How you work this out for you is personal. And so we have to avoid legalism. There's this rigidness that, well, okay, I can't enjoy my money at all, you know, or maybe I just completely indulge. No, Christianity is actually a religion of freedom. This is actually a path of freedom. So there is freedom to enjoy your money, but the Bible also calls us to live wisely and live generously. And so there's this art, there's this dance, there's this sensitivity to God's purposes in His Spirit that causes us to live in freedom. Is this good? See, so we don't want to be so rigid that it's about this, it's about that. I can't do this, I can't do that. I'm not saying you can't enjoy your money at all, but be careful where you find your ultimate satisfaction. Pastor Craig Rochelle said, the richest people are not those who have the most, but those who need the least. Those who need the least. See, it's not that it's wrong to own some stuff. What's wrong is when your possessions own you. It's not that it's wrong to own, it's not that it's wrong to have some money. What's messed up is we don't want to get to the place where money has us, where it runs our lives. Because the richest people that I know aren't people who have the most, but people who need the least. You know, I've traveled to countries. I've been to nations, and we have an international church. Some of you are from nations where people don't have much of anything, you know, developing nations. And I've seen people who didn't have everything, yet they were happy. I've seen people who, compared to me, they had nothing, and yet they were satisfied. I've seen believers who, you know, when you look at their life, you feel bad for them because you'd say, well, they don't have anything. But you know what? They had God, and they worshiped more fully than I think some of us. And I can tell you, I've come away from experiences like that, even though I'm a Western, wealthy American person compared to most of the world. See, I'm not preaching at you, because the truth is, the reality is, compared to most of the world, all of us are wealthy. We all could do better stewarding our finances. But I'll tell you, I come away from those times when I see people like that, and it challenges me. And I inevitably look at them and want to be more like them. They think they want the lifestyle I have, but I've seen people, and I've been to places where I came away, and I thought, I wish I had more of a contentment that they have. I wish I had more of a love for God and just a satisfaction in Him and a pure worship than having to have all of this stuff. And you know, every now and then I get to these little ruts in life, and I'm sure you get there too. Don't judge me, but I'm sitting in the shower thinking, man, I wish I had more of this. Or, man, it's so hard paying the bills sometimes. Man, I'm trying to get ahead on this, and I'd love to be at this place. And I can get a little bit, you know, disgruntled at times. And God, why am I not further along in this or that? And every now and then, like, the Holy Spirit reminds me of these moments where I've been somewhere where people had nothing compared to me. And it's a sense of gratitude that comes back to me. And so this morning, let me just tell you, this is so, so important, because better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. You have to lean in for just a moment this morning, church. This is so important that we get this right, because you have one life that is so ridiculously short. The scripture says that our lives are like a vapor, that it passes away, it evaporates. Blink your eyes, your kids are grown up. Blink your eyes, you're at the end of your life. We have one chance to get this right. Life is flying past us, and your life is too valuable to waste it. The calling of God on your life, the purposes of God for your life, how God wants to use you, how He wants to use your life to touch somebody else. It's too valuable to waste it chasing after things that, when it's all said and done, won't matter. You weren't put here on this planet just to accumulate more wealth. Your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. You were put on this planet to make a difference in somebody else's life. You were put on this planet to show some of us the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. So better is one handful. And kids, I love you. Better is one handful with meaningful relationships. Better is one hand in a healthy marriage. Better is one handful in the ability to make a difference. Better is one handful with less distractions, so you can be more passionate about the purposes of God in your life. Have a passion to serve Jesus. Better is one handful with tranquility than two hands full with toil and chasing after the wind. Listen to me this morning, church. Lean into this for just a moment. At your funeral one day, nobody is going to stand around and say what an amazing life they lived. Let me just tell you what kind of car they drove, what kind of house they lived in, what kind of vacations they went on. Nobody's going to talk about that. Nobody's going to talk about that. You know what people are going to care about? You know what your family is going to care about? People are going to care about how generous you were, how loving you were, how loyal you were, how faithful you were. As a believer, if you're a believer in this place, people are going to care about like the example that were how the example you led, the life you led, the difference you made in people's lives, how you gave, how you showed people what it is to follow Jesus, how you were an example in someone else's life. That's what they're going to talk about. And so we got to wake up this morning because we so easily get distracted. I get distracted. You get distracted. We start worrying about things that when it's all said and done, they don't even matter. But less is more. Less is more. And better is one handful with peace, with the peace of God in your heart, with tranquility in your heart, with a life full of purpose, a life full of meaning, than two hands full with stress and no margin. And always looking for satisfaction in things and never getting there. It's like chasing after the wind. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for you. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to help us with this. We're going to ask God to help us with this, to redirect our focus, to reprioritize the things of God, the kingdom of God, his purposes for our lives. And I believe he wants to help us this morning. Would you pray with me? Just make it personal. I said this whole series is really personal. The application, what this looks like for you, how you work this out. This is a conversation that we're starting, but the conversation continues between you and the Lord. If you're married, you and your spouse, you and your family, would you pray with me this morning? And if this is something you'd say, I want God's help with, I want to refocus my attention on his purpose for my life. Would you just pray with me? Just make it personal. Pray along with me. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. God, we thank you for the timeless wisdom of your word that shocks us back to our senses sometime. And God, we thank you for reminding us today of how precious the gift of life is, how fleeting it is, how quickly it's going by. God, it's going by so fast. And God, we want to make the most of it. We recognize today that we only have one life to give, one life to steward for your purposes, oh God. And we don't want to be distracted chasing after things when it's all said and done. Don't even matter. God, we thank you that we live in a nation of abundance. We live in a place of abundance. And we thank you for the gifts that we do have. Help us to find joy in them. Help us to be good stewards, God. Help us to live in a place of freedom, but God, ultimately, to be focused on your kingdom, God, your purposes for our lives, God, to be good stewards of the finances you've blessed us with. God, we're asking you for wisdom, God. We're asking you for strength. We're asking you for discipline. God, we're asking for a spirit of freedom. Some people in here, there's some spending addictions. There's some habits that have to be broken. And Holy Spirit, you're speaking even right now in this room. And so I just speak freedom over this congregation. Freedom, God, to be everything that you've called us to be, to live generous lives, to live lives with wisdom and with margin. God, help us to do it. Father, I also pray for the person in this place who, even as I'm preaching this morning, there's a longing in their heart for their life to be about something more. Maybe they've achieved status. Maybe they've arrived. They've purchased some things, or they've made it in their career, but they've still found that, God, there's something deep on the inside of them that still hasn't found satisfaction. And when I think about their life, God, even this morning, your spirit is tugging on their heart to know purpose, to know something that truly brings life. If that's you this morning, I believe Jesus is calling to you. Jesus is calling you to follow him. He wants to give you this purpose that you seek after. So this morning, if that's you, would you just pray with me? Something's tugging on your heart. Would you just pray, Jesus, I receive you. I invite you into my life. I want to live this life of purpose. God, I want to follow after you. I turn from my life of sin. And Jesus, I choose to follow you. I want to know life. I want to know a life of meaning and purpose. And if that's you, I believe you heard your prayer today. Father, we thank you for it. God, we know that you'll give us the grace and the strength in your spirit to walk this out. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.